on is absolutely amazing, right? And this whole idea, again, you've been going through all of this Sermon on the Mount. And it really, though, especially this passage, but all of the Sermon on the Mount, right, is geared for believers. It's geared for people who have put their faith and trust in Christ. Because can you imagine when you were there and you're listening to Jesus, you're like, what is he talking about, right? And if you lust in your heart, you've sinned and murder and this and money. Oh, my goodness, right? And so what Jesus, what I love about this sermon is he was preaching that, yes, to the people there, but he was really preaching it also for us. Do you know Jesus knew that you'd be sitting here today listening to me? Isn't that crazy? And he's praying actually right now for us. It says in Hebrews 7:25 that Jesus lives to intercede for us. Isn't that crazy? So let me pray real quick, and then we're going to jump into the meat here. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the rain, Lord, replenishing the earth. Thank you for Pastor Eric, for Farrell and their beautiful children. Thank you for their just a chance to get away. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful church. And I say beautiful church, I don't mean the building, even though it's beautiful. I mean the people. For the church is not a building. It's not a place. It's the family of God. And Lord, all over the world right now, people, our brothers and sisters, are worshiping you. My friend Clement and Chad's worshiping you. My friend Joshua in Nigeria is worshiping you. Our friend Moses in Myanmar is worshiping you. Our friend, Lord Joshua, down in Uganda is worshiping you. And so, Lord, thank you that we are united with the family of God to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I ask you, Lord, to open our hearts today to hear what you would have to say. Lord, not me. I hide behind the cross. But Lord, may people hear what you have for them. And may as they leave here in a little bit, know that they're walking with you, that they are loved by you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to do, I just want to touch on three things briefly. All right, and I'm going to try to be brief, but right, you know there's a lot here. Number one, though, because when we jump into money, right, that's a big topic, all right? So don't worry, I'm not going to talk about tithing right away, all right? I'm going to talk about that later. No, I'm just kidding. But money is a, right, it's a really touchy subject and a really important subject. Because you know what I found? People can tell me a lot of things, but what I actually really want to do is if I look at their checkbook, I know what counts, what's important in their life. Because we are what we spend. Right, we put money to what is important to us, right? And so, what I want to first do though is why are we here? Because it's not so much about the money as it's about as our hearts. Money actually will take care. Like Jesus says, if you know who I am and you walk with me, money will really not be the issue. It's a deeper issue than money. Now, some of you might say, no, it's an issue. I need some money. Believe me, I've been there. I've had a business, right? My wife can tell you. You know, you can only live on love so long, right? You know, but I have an amazing wife because we sold our house in Rhode Island, came back down here to use that to start our business. You know, and there's two ways. You all know, some folks from business here know there's two ways to start a business. Number one is you raise money, right? And I always tell people, do that first. I did the other way. My brother and I did is we would, raise money as we went. So it was always, cash flow was always an issue, right? So I understand, believe me. I remember we met with a college planner for our oldest when she was looking at going to Fordham. And he looked at our finances and he goes, be honest with you, Pat, I'm not worried about college. I'm worried about, are you guys able to eat? You know, and I was like, yeah, we're fine. You know, tuna fish is good. But the question though really is why are we here? What's our purpose? That's number one. Number two, once we know our purpose, then we can ask the question, where should we focus our money? And what does money play in our lives? What's the importance of money, right? Not only just money though, our time, our energy, our very lives, okay? And then number three I want to look at is I want to touch on how we deal with our anxiety. We're a culture now that is dealing more with anxiety than ever. Young people, I mean, the rate of suicide and anxiety, it's crazy. We're the most prosperous nation in the world, but we keep dropping in that happiness category. I think we're down to like number 25. It's like we're going down. You know, quick story. When I was in Ghana doing ministry last year, I'm in the capital, which I don't remember right now, but it's on the water. And we were doing a service, excuse me, for people in rehab. And I know you, I see outside. I love that you guys work with Pivot Ministry and who I'm very good, close friends with Richard Williams, the director. You work with the Rescue Mission, which is awesome. Gail and I are there every Monday serving lunch. And I actually got the privilege to teach the men Wednesday night or Wednesday day a Bible study. And so I love that. But that is nothing compared to being in Ghana and some of these places in West Africa. And the kids literally have nothing. Right, they are. Oh, thank you, Gail. They are, but they're literally playing. There's pigs. I mean, they're playing with mud. But you know what I found out? What amazed me? They were the happiest kids I've ever seen in my life. They have absolutely nothing, but they had such joy. And I came back, and it just hit me. A lot of the kids, and say especially Fairfield County, you know, if they don't have the latest cell phone or this or that, they're very upset. And I said, oh, I think everyone should go to see my friends in Ghana or my friends, you know, in Myanmar, or my because our dear friend Pastor Randy, who founded Living Hope Church, he and I, a number of us founded it, he travels all over the world, and so the stories. But anyways, but why are you here? Okay, hopefully you believe that God created you, right? I don't have time to go into that. That's a whole nother series, right? But I hope that you understand, though, not only that God created you, but that he created you unique. And I love sharing, especially in these different countries, with children, how special they are. But I want you to, and you say, I know that, but no, do you really know how special you are? Do you know that no one has your voice? Isn't that crazy? There's 7 billion people alive today, and no one has your voice. Now, my kids say, Dad, thank God no one has your voice, right? They're like, yeah. But no one has your eyes. No one has your eyes, right? Does anyone know what else is unique about you? Anyone want to give me a suggestion? Yes. Fingerprint, exactly. When I travel, everywhere I go, I have to what? Give them my fingerprints. I do ministry every Tuesday. We do a chapel service down at the, what they call Bridgeport Correctional, you know, it's on North Ave. And everyone you get, right? Everyone has their fingerprints. Why? Because no one has my fingerprints. What else? Anyone else know what's unique? So your voice, right? Fingerprints, your eyes, I mentioned eyes, right? Your eyes are unique. Huh? DNA, yeah. You're cheating, Gail. You know these answers. You can't know. Yeah, your DNA. Your DNA is unique. Do you know what's also neat? I was doing a nursing home ministry 2 weeks ago in Shelton, and a woman, 96 years old, I could barely hear her, but she says, she raised her hand. I said, yes. And she says, your heartbeat. I said, I didn't know that. She goes, yeah, no one has your heartbeat. That's crazy. I'm sorry, we could just stop right now, right, and pray, and let's go have coffee, right? Because think about it, you are uniquely made, and everyone is uniquely made. The reason why that's so important is because, especially for young people, right, who are dealing with anxiety and depression and social media and bullying and all that, you are special. We have twin grandkids, right? And right now we have really a blessing to living with us, right? Sometimes I wonder, but it's a blessing because our daughter and son-in-law are having their house, you know, redone. You know, if anyone's had work done on your house, you know, whatever the contractor tells you, it's going to be twice as long, right? So anyway, but I the other day I said to our granddaughter, Quinn, I said, Quinn, do you know how special you are? You are special. And just to be able to speak that over her, right? So that is so important. Actually, I brought for later on, if anyone wants one, but every morning, because you know what? We all wrestle with this, but you know what I do every morning? Is when I sit with the Lord and I'm listening to him, right? And I'm in his word. But I have a sheet that's called Who Am I in Christ? And do you know I need to read this every day, right? And I encourage you to read this or something similar. Just, you know, I just read a couple every day. But this morning, I said, wow, my life is hidden with Christ in God. That's Colossians 3:3. It says, I'm an expression of the life of Christ because he is in my life. Colossians 3:4. Right? One more. Right? It says, I am a child of God, and I will resemble Christ when he returns. That's 1 John 3:1-2. You know what that does for me every morning? It reminds me that I am special because I'm his creation, not because of my accomplishments. And the enemy who loves to shoot those lies in there and remind me of my failures, I can say no to that and yes to him. Amen? And that's what has to do so much with our identity and then dealing with our money, right? And of course, that's what the gospel's all about, right? And I just have to mention very quickly, I have a little, I say bracelet, I don't know, it doesn't sound manly. What should I say? I don't know. There's no way to say this. I don't know. I got a man bracelet, I guess. I don't know. But you know, it's a thing, right? But and a lot of people have those. But you know what I like about this one? This is from FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I love this is because it reminds me of the gospel. And wherever I'm at, I am to share God's love, right? Because God made me, and we'll talk about in a second, to worship him, to love him, and to love other people. And what I love about it is, think about, what is the gospel? If I asked you, what's the gospel? You're in an elevator, you got 2 minutes, I want you to share the gospel with someone. Most of us go, oh, I don't know. So we do what every good American does. We just stare, right, at the thing, you know, and then someone says, hey, how you doing? Oh, I didn't see you there. Hey, how are you? Nice to meet you. Anyway, what's the gospel? Number one is I have a little thing, a heart. So what's that stand for? God loves me. Very simply, God loves me. He created me, and he loves me. But there's a division sign, and this reminds me, what would the division sign, what do you think that would mean? Anyone want to give me a guess? Division is what? To divide, right? So we're what? Divided. We're separated from God, right? Romans 3:23, all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. Why? Because we all sin. Sin, I love this. I have a friend of mine, our sports ministry, one of our guys, this sports ministry is crazy, and I won't get talking about it, but one of our guys is, he's a Native American Cherokee, and he has an archery ministry. Do you know archery is a big ministry in Oklahoma? It's huge. He does tournaments for 700 kids at a time. You know, he goes, does your school have archery? I go, archery? No, we don't have archery. You know, anyways, but what? Why would I bring him up? Because there was a reason. I'll come back to him. The mark, thank you. Thank you. That's why Gail, she's so good for me, you know. The mark. Sin is what? Missing the mark. It's not just sinning and doing right, wrong. It's missing the mark, right? And that's sin. That's, and we're divided. Number three, eventually Gail will just come up here and she'll finish the sermon. So don't worry. She's that good. It's so good. Right, we did a marriage retreat in Arkansas, and by the end, they're like, "Could you just sit down and let? We want to hear from her." So, yeah. And then the third is the cross, right? That Jesus, right? He died for us. Jesus loved, right? John 3:16. God the Father loved you and I so much that He would send His only Son, what, to suffer and die, so we can live. There had to be what, the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. We'd be lost. Of course, the fourth thing, though, most importantly, is the question mark. Who do you say Jesus is, right? There's a lot of your friends and family and so forth. Oh, yeah, I don't have time for that. No, I'm not. That's not for me. There's a lot of ways to all this. Guys, Jesus lived, died, and rose again. 1 Corinthians 15. That's it. Focus on the resurrection. And so the question is, just like Gail and I are senior high school, who do you say Jesus is? And thankfully, we said, Lord, thank you. But again, it was his spirit that drew us to him. And I pray that for you today. I pray if someone doesn't know you today, you just simply say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you love me. But yeah, I sin. But thank you that Jesus died for me, and I receive it. Gail came up and gave me this water. If I had said to her, Gail, no, I don't want the water, guess what? Even though this water, John was nice to get it for me, gave it to Gail, Gail gives it to me. I said, no, it's not my water. Why? Because I didn't receive it. But I said, thank you. I took it. There's a lot of people that we offer, right? They don't want it. And you go, but you keep praying for people. So that's so important. So that is, again, so right? Ephesians 2:8, right? By grace you've been saved, right? Through faith, not of works. You coming here today does not give you, like, God saying, wait a minute. No, he's excited you came here, but not because to earn his love. You already have his love. There's nothing you can do. I love Tim Keller saying that. Nothing you can do. They make God love you any more or any less. Amen? So understanding that is so important. And Jesus tells us, right? Greatest commandment, what? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love others as yourself. So how do we love God? We love God. What's he called us to do? He's called us to worship, right? That's why I love worship. But not just singing songs. He's called us to worship in everything we do. Brother Lawrence, right? Great book. Some of you have read it called The Presence of God. And he talks about that God's with us all the time. Even when you're cutting carrots, you're worshiping God. Paul tells us in Colossians 3, whatever you do, do for what? The glory of God. Why? Because he loves you. He died for you. And thus, you're his. You're no longer a slave to sin, but you're a slave to God. But a slave to God is freedom, right? Some people say, I want to do whatever I want. I want freedom. You ask the guys at Pivot Ministry or guys at the Rescue Mission where that got them. Because boundaries that are given by God give us actually true freedom, right? A fire is amazing in a fireplace, but it's outside of that fireplace. It, right, burns down a house. I love, I'm reading a great book right now, A.W. Tozer, and he wrote a book, it's called The Purpose of Man, right? Good, okay. And it's what? Designed to Worship. He's got Pursuit of God. Many of you read his book. But let me just read this. So interesting. He said that he pictured God after creating everything, right? He creates everything in Genesis 1, and he created man, right? And remember, he said in Genesis 1:26, we're going to create man in what? Our image. Not just the Father, it's the Son, it's the Holy Spirit, right? The Trinity. And he says, though, to the man, imagine this, Adam, or your name, look around. All of this world, all of what I've created is for you. It's for your enjoyment. And look at me, he said, look at me, the Father. I am yours. See, when he created Adam and Eve, it was what? For relationship, right? The walking in the garden every night. He said, I'm yours, and I'll look at you, and I'll see you in my face. I'm going to see my glory when I look at you. Isn't that crazy? My favorite verse in the Old Testament, do you know what it is? Zephaniah 3:17. It's a great verse. You definitely read it later on. Because you know what it says? That the Lord actually sings over you. Do y'all remember when your kids were little and you go in and they were and they're sleeping? Babies sleeping is just like, it's like heaven. And you smell their hair and they're breathing. And you, what do? You'll hum over them, right? You'll sing over them. It's like, oh, you know what? God does that with you every night. Isn't that amazing? Some of you are going, no, he doesn't. Yes, he does. And you need to hear that every day. Now, some of the wives are going, really? I hope he's singing over my husband because he saws like, a, you know what? That's, you know, and no, Lord, help him, right? Okay, yeah. Anyways, but he's saying, I'm yours, right? And he's saying how much he loves us. The Westminster Catechism says that man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, right? So, again, I can't get into all this, but I remember some of you have read Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, over a crazy, I think 50 million copies sold, but his first sentence there is, you were born with a purpose. And your purpose, right? I'm going to list just you five things real quick. Number one, you're born to worship. God created us to worship him and have a relationship with him, right? Number two, he created us, right, to become like him, right? 2 Corinthians 3:8, it says, and we with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Isn't that amazing? Life is not just about, you know, slugging it out. It's about growing, becoming more like Christ, right? He must, as John the Baptist said, he must increase as we decrease. He also calls us what? To serve others, to be on mission. I love what Tim Keller says. You know, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less. See, the reason why the first hour of your day and my day, the most important thing you can do and I can do is spend time in silence and solitude with him. And listen. We're a culture that can't listen. I mean, I'll be honest with you, think about where else can you go other than a Sunday morning, right, for a half hour, 40 minutes, or 3 hours in this case. Where can you go where there's actually not everyone's looking at their phone? I don't know a place. Go to the airport, right, everywhere you go. Thank God schools are finally waking up and realizing, you know what, it's probably a good idea that kids don't have their phones. You know, that's probably a good idea. But anyways, you know, but the parents are like, but what if I need Johnny? What, I got to reach him. What did we do without cell phones before? I'm amazed by that. Have you ever left your house and forgot your cell phone? You could forget your wallet, and you're like, I forgot my wallet. You forget your cell phone, oh my gosh, I can't go. I got to turn around. It's, right, isn't that something? I think that kind of gets into anxiety there. But again, different sermon, but we're all called. So, what's our purpose? Know God, love God, walk with God, and enjoy him forever. Number two, let's look at what do we do here with our money? What's Jesus saying to you here? And I just want to glean a couple of things here, and we'll wrap up. Right? We know that someone loves and believes in by looking, again, at the checkbook. Right? And what God's trying to do with us, he says, guys, it's not about your money. It's about your heart. It really comes down to trust, right? I love the Lord's Prayer. What does he say? Lord, give us 10 years of our 401k so we are completely satisfied. And no, he says, give us our daily bread. I'll be honest with you, I like that. Right? If I was the Israelites, I would have done just what they did. What do they do? Remember, they're going through the wilderness and they get the manna. And what do? They God won't see it. Let's put it under. All right, good stewards. And what's it do? It gets ruined. Why? Because God says, I'm your bread. I will take care of you, right? But we think we have to do it. And I'll give God a few dollars. No, no. God said, I give you everything. And he's not against money. This is not about money. What he's going to talk about is the love of money. That's the root of all kinds of evil. So he says here, do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth. He said, do it in heaven, right? Because he said, if you store up treasures here, what ends up happening? We'll look at that. Okay, he's warning us about greed, about hoarding. Basically, where am I putting my trust? Jesus says, you can't serve money and God, right? You can't do it. Money is a wonderful, wonderful servant. It's a terrible master. And if you make that your master, it's going to end poorly, right? Pardon the pun. Matthew 19:23, Jesus said, truly I say to you, only with difficulty, right? Another translation says it's impossible. But it says, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And of course, Peter's like, well, then who can get saved? And right? And Jesus says, well, with God, all things are possible. So he's showing again, right, that our love has to be for God. Matthew 6:24, when he says, you can't serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Okay, here's a great verse too. 1 Timothy 6:10. Eric and I talked about this, mentoring people and so on, because money's real, guys. You know, we can say this, but it's not about, oh, yeah, just trust God, everything's good. No, no, no. When you can't pay the mortgage, that's a different story. But, you know, I realize sometimes God lets you struggle with paying the mortgage because he says, do you trust me? I want to come through. One of the beauties of having our own business was, again, that we had to trust God. I remember we having a meeting one time, Gail. The reason why we were successful is, again, because we got smart and hired my wife as our salesperson. I found out school teachers are great salespeople. You know why? Because people trust them. They believe it. And so we were at a meeting that I remember, and my brother said, man, if we don't double our business, really, like in a month or so, we're in trouble. And Gail says, God can do it. And my brother was a young believer at that point, right? And so he's like, Gail, I know that, but we need strategy. Gail goes, God will give us strategy. And he's like, Gail, I know that, but we need to figure this out. God will figure it out. And I said, don't argue with her, just let her go. And sure enough, why? Because we trusted. Yes, we worked hard, but God was faithful. But Paul says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Verse 20 talks about this. Anything done in this life that has eternal value will be rewarded. And I just want to hit this, and then we're going to finish up with anxiety. If we do good deeds here, and they could be really good, but we do it so people see us, Jesus says, good job, but that's your reward. He says, do it. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. He said, live a life of generosity. Now, we teach a class called Financial Peace University. Dave Ramsey, love Dave Ramsey. He's a character. What I love about it, the premise is get out of debt and live a generous life. Paul says in Romans, owe no one but your love. And so Gail and I remember Gail, she would pray that over. She said, we are going to be debt free. And I remember like I would chuckle. I'm like, okay. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? There's prayer, but then there's like, mm-hmm. And thank God my wife's faith was much bigger than me. Because I'm like, I don't see how that's going to happen. Right? We were bleeding more than, right? It was, I mean, especially have all that. We're debt free. That's God. And so the point here is that, Lord, where do I put my trust? Is it in my ability to earn, right? Or do I trust you to give me my daily bread? Yes, work hard, right? But you're going to trust him. But I come then, Lord, what do I do with my money as people are debt free? When you give for eternity standpoint in heaven, not, and you don't do it so everyone knows your name. Jot down, or just if you remember this, a book, very short book, it'll take you literally 20 minutes to read, called The Mansion. Henry Van Dyke is the author. Great book. You'll want to give it to people at Christmas, right? I won't spoil it with you, but it's a great book. Think about mansions in heaven, right? And there's a guy who's very generous here on earth, but everyone knows when he gives his money, right? He probably would give, he had enough money to give to Yale New Haven Hospital, but he wanted to make sure his name is on the building. And there's a great dream he has when he goes to heaven. And he realizes that's not the way to do it. So I'll leave it at that. Proverbs 23, 4 and 5 says, do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. How many people do you know that they live their whole life to get to a certain point, be it income-wise or whatever it might be, and two things happen. Number one, they never get there and they're frustrated more, but even worse is they get there. And once they get there, they're like, this is it? I remember the interview Tom Brady. Maybe some of you saw that. And he's like, you've won 5 Super Bowl, blah, 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 blah. What's it like? He goes, you know what it's like? I said, is this it? This all there is? Right? Our sports ministry, one of our folks is the chaplain for the U.S. the women's national team, the soccer team that won the gold. And she was doing chaplain before. And one side note, she said, she told me the line she gave before the when they beat Germany. And she said, you always play better when your father's in the stands. I love that. You know, and I remember playing, when I played sports in college, when I became a Christian, I became a better athlete because you know why? I was not anxious. I was playing not for the approval of everyone else, but I was playing for my Heavenly Father. And he goes, just give it your best. I don't care either way. You just go for it. And he said, that changed those girls' perspective. Most of that team are believers. And I just thought that was wonderful. But the idea is, once they got the gold, yeah, you're all watching them. They're celebrating the field. They're all excited. But then it was like, okay, now what do we do? Well, I guess we go back to the hotel. You know, it's like, let's go have dinner. Because when we strive for worldly success, it never measures up. But when you strive for the Lord, it's amazing. I'll tell you a quick story. There was a couple that were missionaries in Africa, and they were coming back. They've been in Africa for 40 plus years, faithfully serving. And they were now in their 80s, and they're on a ship. This is back when President Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt was president, and they're on this ship and they're coming to the New York Harbor. And the husband's like, Lord, is anyone going to be there? Is anyone going to welcome us? And as they pull into the harbor, they saw all these people. And their people are like, wow. Right? Yeah. And then he's like, wow, look how many people. But then he realized when he looked down at the other end of the ship that Teddy Roosevelt, the president of the United States, was on the ship. So those people were all there for the president. Now, they didn't know the president, but they, right? And so he's like, he and his wife, and people all left, and they got off at the end, and no one was there. And they went back to the little tiny apartment in Manhattan. And he's like, God, really? No one? And he had a dream that night, and he heard the Lord say to him, hey, don't get discouraged. You're not home yet. This is not home. He says, wait till you get home. Oh, there are thousands and thousands of people and angels that'll be welcoming you home. Like, oh, it's all about perspective, isn't it? It's the same thing with our giving. It says here in Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So may the Lord give us the right perspective of money. And remember that we need to invest in heaven. Send your money ahead. It's the best investment. The rates are unbelievable. They're unbelievable. Now, it doesn't mean you don't invest here. Doesn't it? No, you'd be good stewards. But don't live for here and now. Because everything you do in heaven, it just keeps multiplying. It's a whole different philosophy. Wow. And you know, we really struggle, especially here in America, with our self-worth being our net worth. You live in a culture, right, that you buy some houses like, oh my gosh. New Canaan had big houses when I grew up, but not like they have now. It's actually, we drove, you know, from Trumbull, we came up Chestnut Road, whatever it was, off exit 41. And there was a couple times that Gail said, whoa, watch out, because I was so enamored by some of the houses that I almost went into an oak tree. I'm like, what? You know, it's unbelievable. But you know, I realized you can only live in one room at a time. Like, how big do you need? How big of a house? No, nothing wrong with that. But God's like, maybe have a standard living where you say, what if you sat down with your spouse and said, where do we need to be? And then what if we started living a life of generosity? What if we started listening and found out someone who maybe had a need and we took care of it secretly and no one knew? Wow. my friend Tom and Kathy are here, and we were at Grace Church for 3 years. I was the family pastor, and you know, they were at church then, and we still do a men's Bible study since COVID, but we've done right, Tom, for 4 years now. And so we do every Tuesday through Friday for an hour, you know, a bunch of guys, great guys. Anyways, there was a need of one of the guys I work with over in Cameroon, a guy named Moses, a pastor, and he needed eye surgery. He had no money, and if he didn't, he's going to go blind. And I said, well, how much is the surgery? Now I'm thinking, right? $759. Now, but in Cameroon, that's a lot of money. And so I just happened to shoot out an email saying, guys, if no pressure, but if anyone wants to help, within 2 hours, I had over $760. And we were able to send that. Now, he's never going to meet my buddies, but he will in heaven. And he was so thankful. You know who was blessed? They and me. Because we were able to give. Jesus is the one who said it's better, right, to give than to receive. Okay, let's wrap it up with this. And again, we're just touching on this, man. You guys hopefully have another discussion. But what do we do with anxiety? Now, again, right, I have to land the plane here. But like, oh, that's a whole nother thing. I'll leave that really for Eric. But I just want to, let me just touch on this. Yeah, Eric's like, oh, really, thanks, Pat. I number my pages because I've done that before where I dropped them and I'm like, oh no. And then I had to start over. So it was a 4 hour sermon. It was really bad. I won't do that to you. Okay, we're done. But again, how do we, right, handle our anxiety? And that is, we live, right? Here's the thing. How do we live each day trusting in our Heavenly Father and not continually worrying and being anxious about our future, right? Think about it. We worry about our future, we regret our past, and we have no peace for today. And I think that's why Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Be present. I love the saying. Right now, I'm here on the stage, and my feet are here. And my friend told me one day, he goes, Pat, be wherever your feet are. That's really good. Some of you right now are thinking about work tomorrow or school coming up or you're over here in your past and you're saying, man, Lord, why did I do that? How did I do that? Do you know, it's funny, I don't remember many things I do well, but I remember what I do poorly. Is anyone else like that? I can remember back to like sixth grade doing something, a boneheaded thing, and my dad yelling at me. My dad probably yelled at me like very few times in my life. But you know, there was things in life. Why do we do that? Because the enemy especially loves to bring up. And think about kids. Think about social media. Think about, right? How most people feel good about themselves when they can put other people down. That's why I'm telling our grandkids, you are special. You are loved. God loves you. And it doesn't matter what anyone else tells you. And you all need to hear that. Right? We act like, oh, no, I need to hear that every day. God says you're special, you're loved, right? And that is so vital. Your self-worth is not your net worth. So when I focus on that, and what I do, and we'll just land this on here with these scripture verses, is I meditate and learning to meditate more and more on God's word. If I think on, Paul says in Colossians 3, keep your hearts and minds set on things above where Christ is seated. Jesus said, I'm in heaven preparing a home for you, and I'm interceding for you. Those are the two things that Jesus is doing. Hebrews, when it says in Hebrews, he says he lives to intercede for you and I. I mean, when someone lives for something, what does that mean? That means that is their joy. That gives them life. And that's what does for Jesus is interceding for you and I. Philippians 4:4-7, right? Many of you heard this before, but it's so good, right? Many of you memorize it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Even in good and bad times, right? Again, he said, I'm going to say it, rejoice. Why? Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. He's close. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or never forsake you. He said, I am right with you. Do not be anxious about anything. That's not a command. It's an invitation. He's not saying you're bad if you're angry. No, it's anxiety is real, right? I jotted down here. Psalm 56:3. I love this. King David, right? David said, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. Fear is real. Anxiety is real. When I am anxious, I will trust in you. So when I'm anxious, the question is, what do I do with it, right? Psalm 103:13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that he loves. So daily, sit at his feet. Meditate on his word, right? I encourage you to journal. Right? This morning, I just jotted down here, this is what struck me. Psalm 86, verse 12. With all my heart, I will praise you, O Lord my God. I will give you glory to your name forever. So as I meditate on Scripture, as I put my mind on Christ, I think on things like 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18, right? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. When we do this, right, we experience what? His peace that passes all understanding. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are present. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this body of believers. Lord, we thank you that you invite us today to trust you, first of all, for our salvation. You died for us, Jesus, so that we may live. And I pray if anyone's here today and they've never accepted Christ, that today would be the day of salvation. They would simply say, Lord, thank you, and I receive you. Lord, thank you. And Lord, we also thank you that you save us daily from ourselves. You save us from the world. You save us from the enemy. It says, resist the devil. He has to flee from you. Lord, you give us money. Why? So we can provide for our needs. But the money is really just symbolizing you. You provide our needs. You're the source. Our job might be a resource, but you're the source. And you say, don't be anxious. I got you. Trust me. Focus on me. Live for me and give yourself away. Lord, when we give and we live a generous life, be it our money, our time, our very selves, we are blessed. And so, Lord, thank you. And Lord, thank you for the promise of eternity with you. Lord, you are preparing a home for us. And Lord, it's going to be amazing. No sin, no death, no disease. And so, Lord, while we're here, you say, don't grow weary in well-doing. Lord, we are here to love and worship you, and we're here to worship, Lord, your amazing grace so we can give that grace to others. We're here to love and serve others. And so, Lord, thank you. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.